John 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Have you ever wondered why all Christians are not equal? There are some who are very new in the faith and they're full of zeal and they learn the things of God so rapidly. And some even go on to become preachers and teachers in the early years of their Christian life. And there are others who seem to mark time just forever. They make little progress, and indeed we would say we have to look very hard to discover if they are saved at all. Why is that? Well, today we will find out that when we do not make a clean break from the world and sin, that we're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And while we may be saved, yet we will only bring forth fruit some 30, some 60, some 100. And I hope that today that you will learn how you may become fruitful and productive in your Christian life. After all, the Lord Jesus said that our purpose in life is to bring forth much fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bring forth much fruit. And that's my prayer for you. It really is. I would love to see God's people bringing forth abundance of spiritual gospel fruit in their lives. The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, meekness, tenderness, and all of the fruit of the Spirit. I pray today that the Lord will minister to your heart
as we open the Bible again at John chapter 16. I know I'm nuts about John chapter 16, and this has been a very in-depth study, but I've been blessed, and my prayer is that you will also be blessed through the Lord's Word. So stay tuned as we move now to our pulpit ministry on the indwelling and empowering of the Holy Spirit upon the individual Christian.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7. And you'll see how the link between the Word and the Spirit go together. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. And prior to that, there was a whole list of terrible sins. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye are sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, your walk is linked to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If we're living worldly, if we're living for the world, carnally and in disobedience, we will not have the Holy Spirit as we should. We will not be walking in the light, and we will grieve the Holy Spirit. In verse 10, goes on to say, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. On down to verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And we keep reading here. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, surely we can take from that chapter, that passage, that we need to walk in the light if we will have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if on a Sunday morning a whole bedraggled group of people come in as a congregation, they've been living for the world, walking in the ways of carnality all week, can we expect that the church will be blessed by the ministry of the Spirit? Never mind the preacher. If he's not walking in the light, how can he become the instrument and the vehicle of the Holy Spirit? So this is very searching. It's one thing to say we want the Holy Spirit, but we have got to use the means, and we have got to walk the walk, and we have got to live a life that proves what is that good and perfect will of the Lord. And so the Spirit's work is an ongoing process. It's a sanctifying, purifying work in our hearts and lives. It's not something that's all over in one day. Some people have the idea that the visitation of the Holy Spirit is a one short, dramatic experience. Well, there can be times when you are very conscious of the Spirit's working. But it's the daily, constant growing and walking in the light that brings us the power of the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Now, we're talking about the means of grace. The preached word, reading the word, walking in the light of the word. Then also come, and then the communion, that was the other one we said, communion. Baptism, that's another one. That is a complete surrender of your life to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit works through surrendered lives. If we're not surrendered, we cannot expect the Holy Spirit to come and work in us and through us. The next means of grace, the last one, the Holy Spirit uses the means of prayer. The Holy Spirit uses the means of prayer. And I'm thinking of Luke 11 and verse 13. Luke 11 and verse 13. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And this is the means. The Holy Spirit comes to us, ministers through us when we ask, when we plead for him in prayer. We're not to be careless about this. We're not to be complacent or shrug our shoulders and say, well, we had the Holy Spirit last week and the week before. Surely he will be with us again. Never assume that the Holy Spirit is going to come without asking. And there ought to be in our praying a sense of desperation. And as we look around today in the world being so strong and powerful, the church being so weak, and all our preaching coming to so little, there is a desperation. The church would die if the Holy Spirit does not come in power. And that includes this church too. There's nothing sacrosanct about any gathering, any congregation, if they're not truly seeking the Holy Spirit's power, if they're not living that they might enjoy the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, maybe that church deserves to die. Maybe that church has no title anymore, no claim upon the aid and the ministry of the Spirit. All right, we have a few minutes. I want to switch gears here. Let's go back to John 16 and to verse 16. Or 14 and 15, the two verses that we're looking at here. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So we have learned now that he illuminates, he uses the word, he uses communion, baptism, prayer. To do what? What does the Holy Spirit reveal? What does he show or announce unto us? Well, the work of the Holy Spirit is to make the divinity of Jesus very real, that he's God, that he is the second person of the Trinity. Now, when we think of his divinity, we think of his glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus. And we must never use that word tritely, and that he's just special. No, he is God. He has all the glory of God about him. Remember when the men were on the Mount of Transfiguration and they saw the glory of the Lord. What an amazing sight. And the Holy Spirit's work is to give us such confirmation, such insights to the glory that is in our Lord Jesus, that we fall in love with him, that he is to us the most precious thing. He is the pearl of great price, for which we will give up everything else, whatever it takes to have Christ, to have the Lord in our lives. Now, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, 7. And we have here a very precious statement, and I'm giving away the word by using the word precious. 1 Peter 2, 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. That's the eye of faith. And of course, faith is the Holy Spirit's work. And to the believer, the Lord Jesus is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, Well, he's just a stone, nothing in him. And the Holy Spirit's work is to make the Lord Jesus really personal and precious. At the end of verse 6, you'll see that word precious coming up again. Behold, I lay in Zion, the chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And the word means ashamed. We're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus. We're willing to be witnesses for him and tell him to others and speak well of him because he's precious. And why do we want to do that? The Holy Spirit reveals the glory, the precious nature of the Lord Jesus to our hearts. His resurrection is another one, but I want to move on to the love the Lord has for our souls. This surely is the crowning of it all. In Malcolm Watts' chapter on this, he said, all a Christian's glory may be summed up in this short sentence. Christ is mine. And that confirmation, that assurance, is the special ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's no way that you or I could say, Jesus is mine, unless the Holy Spirit opened our eyes, revealed his precious nature unto us. And so we have some beautiful hymns on this. Dear Savior, thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me. Let me repeat thy name and lift my heart to thee. Mine, 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 I know thou art mine. Savior, dear Savior, thou art mine. And then there's another hymn I found. It's not in our hymn book, but I looked this one up, and it's peace like a river is flooding my soul, since Christ my Savior maketh me whole. Sweet peace abiding my portion shall be. Jesus my Savior is precious to me. Precious to me. If you can say that tonight, you are spirit taught. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. It is the work of the Spirit to make the Lord Jesus truly precious. I read this testimony of a believer in New Zealand. It was linked to that hymn that I discovered. And the testimony was, thank you, Lord Jesus, for recognizing me as yours and permitting me the peerless honor and recognizing you as mine. Who am I to claim you? And yet God's word, his testament, God's own will has given you to me. That is the astounding assurance of the believer in the Lord Jesus. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the terms that is used for the Spirit doing this work is called the sealing of the Spirit. And over in Ephesians 4:30, you will read of this. The Spirit of God sealing believers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now that is heart work. That is faith at work in your soul. That is that blessed assurance whereby you are sealed. Now the word sealed means signet ring. It's like a wedding ring. And it is the token of a contract. You are sealed in the deal. The contract is made. And this closing with Christ is the drawing, working, revealing ministry of God the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Another hymn says, Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Jesus. Where does this assurance come from? It is the sealing work of the Holy Spirit that we can close with the Lord. And the deal is settled. The matter of our salvation is finalized because we are indeed in the Spirit. And so at our prayer meeting tonight, as in each prayer meeting, we should pray much for this ministry of the Holy Spirit, going beyond the preacher, going beyond the Scriptures, or using the Scriptures, leading people to comprehend them, and going beyond the symbols of communion and baptism, and coming in a closing, confirming, final way to reveal the Lord Jesus to our hearts. And that's precious. Precious to me is our Lord Jesus. Let's unite in prayer and thank him for that. Oh Lord, I thank thee tonight for revealing to me and for each one here tonight who is in Christ, and the deal is settled. We are sealed. We have the blessed assurance that we are in Christ Jesus. We know, Lord, that it was not our mental capacities, it was not our deductions, nor our own wisdom, but it was that revealing personal ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring us to this wonderful assurance where Jesus is truly precious. Oh Lord, we pray that you will send the Holy Spirit in power to us tonight to pray, and to all who worship thee in this church. Oh Lord, we pray that our Lord Jesus will become precious to every sinner, to every soul that will come through the doors of this church. We pray that for radio listeners and webcast viewers, and for all who join under the ministry of your word. Lord, we pray for a definite, mighty, wonderful working of God the Holy Spirit. We pray this for our whole denomination. We pray this for individual churches, for preachers, for the power of the Holy Ghost to be at work in these needy times. Oh Lord, you know that our nations are suffering. We need the light of the gospel to shine forth. Oh, hear from heaven. Put a sense of desperation within our hearts tonight, that we will pray earnestly and pray vigorously, that we will pray through until the blessing comes. We ask earnestly these things in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
We have been learning a lot about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and we know that he is depicted in the Bible as the dove. A very apt picture for the Holy Spirit, because of the dove is pure, will not defile itself. But the dove is also known for its purity, its gentleness, but it is easily frighted away. And that's the care that we need when we think and seek the help and blessing of the Holy Spirit to our hearts. And you will learn in your Christian life that it doesn't take much to grieve the Holy Spirit. He is very sensitive. And when you speak a wrong word, you will feel the witness of that. When you offend a brother, you will feel that witness. When you do wrong, tell a lie, wow, the Spirit of God will give you a thumping, and you will be made very conscious of that. And then when you try to pray, you will find that there is a distance. Now, I do not say that the Holy Spirit has left you and abandoned you, but he does withdraw the gracious consciousness of his blessing. And he allows us to feel that we're following at a distance. And that's a miserable place to be for a Christian. It is a very difficult place to be. And we need to be careful that we do not grieve the Spirit of God. And so I would plead with you to give your heart to the Lord. And I would plead with you to pray for cleansing in the blood and a fresh infilling of the Spirit. Perhaps Psalm 51 would be a good psalm to pray over, where David, who was aware of his sin, prayed that God would wash him in the blood, that he might be white as snow. And he prayed that the Lord would create within him a right spirit, and that he would be restored to the joy of God's salvation. You can have that as well. And my prayer for you is that the Spirit of God will lead you into the very fullness of the blessing. It will require a totally dedicated life. And I beg of you to go to the Lord, lay your life on the altar, and pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will. The Lord will touch you and bless you. And if I can be of any personal help, be sure to be in touch. I look forward to hearing from you. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.